Morning to all of you also. Thank you. I'd like to express my appreciation, you brothers, for coming and doing this here for our church. Just want to say this to you. I want to give a blessing to all three of you to take an interest in exploring and investigating new work, even if it wouldn't work out. I would still appreciate the fact that you make the effort to do these kind of things. It's such a burden on my heart that young men would take up these responsibilities and burdens and visions and see what can be done. We at this point are still in a state of financial prosperity in general, and there's lots of help, I think, available. I look at what some of the other groups have done already in the last couple of years in that very area, and I'm blessed by that likewise, and it's never enough, you know. So thank you for that, and God bless your efforts as you continue. Well, if we may shift gears a bit here this morning, I'm not sure how well this message fits what you've seen here beforehand, but I think it should fit. The burden, perhaps, or the stimulation for this message came out of our present situation in our nation of the United States. In the last year, I think at least three politically involved men have lost their lives mysteriously in connection with Washington, D.C. and the political headquarters there. One being a federal prosecutor and others being involved with the Democratic committee, and then this past week, one of our senators, Republican senators, was shot with a rifle or a assault weapon, of which he had a whole list of Republican senators that he apparently wanted to shoot, but God had a man and a woman, police person, intervene and shot him before he got it all accomplished. But he did wound very seriously one senator. And I have stated it before, and I think I'll state it here again, we are at civil war. In the past year, it has been a civil war of words, and the words and attitudes have gotten continually harsher. And as that continues to fester in the hearts of men, hatred and harsh words and cursing one another, it ultimately leads from a people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, especially, all of that leads to actual physical violence eventually. I think nearly all wars that ever started in that way. And so this is what is the burden upon my heart this morning. The title of my message is Better Days Ahead. Let us turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. Like I say, it's discouraging to hear the news today, and we try to keep abreast a bit of what's going on in our world, and especially in our nation, since it is so volatile right now. And it is discouraging to see the harshness of the tongue, the human tongue, and now finally going into actual physical violence. But the hope of better days ahead And I'm not going to speak about heaven this morning, even though I could. And that is also a blessed hope to the Christian that should be extant and vibrant in our lives today. I would like to just talk a little bit about what I consider the literal fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11. Now, I hope in light of our visitors, I didn't expect that any of our local people here would be offended at my interpretation, but I hope our brothers from Kentucky and others who may be visiting this morning will not be offended at my interpretation of this chapter. But I also had read an article on this chapter, on the fulfillment of it, and again, a stimulus in this direction. I think I will read from verse 1, and I'm not sure whether I'll read quite the whole chapter, but a certain portion of it here. And there shall come a rod, forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Some think that that is referring to the United States and Canada and so on, North America rather. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together, and they shall lay hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. I hardly knew where to quit there, so I did end up reading the entire chapter. Better days ahead. Well, there are numerous interpretations that are rather popular in our day. of Isaiah chapter 11, and I'll just allude to them a little bit here, maybe as I go along, but also at the beginning. There is what we would believe and are persuaded of personally, that there will a day come yet in the future that Isaiah chapter 11 will find literal fulfillment here on earth, not in heaven, but here on the earth. And then there are other persuasions, two especially, that I should bring to, or somewhat three, and that is to spiritualize this, and I realize that this would give a beautiful picture of the Christian life, of the church, if it were so. But I have to say, with all the church struggles and difficulties and splits and divisions and apostasies that are going on, I find it hard to see that this has come to fulfillment, that a wolf and a lamb can lie together and a little child shall lead them and so forth, it referring to spiritual life. Nevertheless, I will admit and do agree that the true Christianity and true conversion, repentance of past sins, has brought a peace in the Christian life, and I would say that in my own life, as I embraced the Christian life that I did not have before, and took some of the conflicts out of my life with my own siblings and so forth at home as a young boy. Often that is referred to as all millennialism, meaning somewhat of a spiritual application. The next one would be the post-millennial view, which they would believe. The post-millennial view would be that through Christianity and the spread of Christianity and the gospel and the Bible and being printed in many, many languages, that the gospel would eventually permeate all society in the earth, and the entire world would become basically Christians, and they would rule the earth. And they would actually believe the scripture that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But there again, being a literalist, I say, as the waters cover the sea, but as I understand the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, 1 Thessalonians, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and so on, it never gives a picture that at the end times that the gospel would permeate society to such a degree as the entire world become Christian. In fact, it's the other way, that there shall be a great falling away, and you find that true Christianity is becoming less and less and having much less influence. If I would just look at our country here, the United States of America, and see that once there was much more a fear of God, even though I do not believe that politics was Christian ever in this nation, nevertheless, there was a much greater respect for the Word of God and a fear of God in the hearts of the people. And people judged much more by biblical precept than what they do today. Today, if I may just comment on what is going on in Washington for a little bit, there is so much deception and lies and sin and corruption of every kind, both financial and moral and dishonesty and lying and stealing. One of the more recent ones that has just been a horrendous thing to me is when the great earthquake in 2011 took place in Haiti. Hillary Clinton got on the air there in television and collected somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 billion. And that's just an unbelievable sum. And showed, went down there many times, her and her husband, and showed pictures of the suffering children, the collapsed buildings and no water hardly, and all these kind of things. And the money just flowed in. It is estimated that at least below 10% ever got to Haiti, and some are saying 2%. And it is on the throes of on the verge of a possible investigation yet to dig it out and find out, but the money, most of it, went into the Clinton Foundation and got distributed to her and her cronies. Dishonesty. The hospital that she pictured is still not rebuilt, as I understand that she was begging money for. But anyway, I believe the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And being a literalist, as I mentioned again, we all know how the waters cover the sea. They cover it completely and entirely, and therefore the knowledge of the Lord has never, never in the history of mankind covered the earth like the waters cover the sea. The best time it did was after the flood, when Noah and those eight souls came out of the ark. But even so, it did not circumvent the earth then. It was only eight left, and they were believers, and I acknowledge that. But like I say, the gospel is going the other way. Churches that did once believe more in the fundamental beliefs and doctrines of the Scripture are apostatizing and turning away from it. And so I do not accept that. But then also there is a division of postmillennialism called preterism, where again is a hybrid of the postmillennial view. It includes postmillennial view that the earth would get better and better, but they believe in bringing theonomic law back and again executing the witch and the adulterer and the rebellious son literally to kill them. And that, of course, has never taken off in its fulfillment, and therefore is, I'm not sure where that's going, but as things have progressively gotten worse here in the United States, it's been pretty hard for me to see how they can hold on to that. All right. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11 in light a little more of the literal view. As a backdrop, let me say, first of all, that I believe that in the Garden of Eden, or the original creation of the earth, God did make the animal kingdom to not destroy each other and not eat each other. It is my persuasion that in that day, it would have been like that the ox or the lion ate straw like the ox, and that there was a peaceful kingdom there. And only because of the fall of man did this deterioration come upon the kingdom of the animals and of the entire earth and mankind, where man then became received a sinful nature and naturally committed sin in his own way. And only as he turned to God for help and for reality and repentance from his sin was he able to come about that. Other than that, the entire world is buried in sin and an old carnal nature that is selfish and wants its own way. And that is evident in mankind. At some point, I do want to turn to Romans 8. And just show you again also that the whole creation groans and travails together. It seems to me like there's just a constant war going on. You know, National Geographic is making a big thing with their hidden cameras to capture a lion catching a gazelle or a tiger catching a wildebeest or something like that. And they love to show all this beast-eating beast, and I think it's not for a right reason. You know, it's maybe a bit interesting to us for a while, but it's pretty rare, pretty rough, and it just seems like it kind of hardens mankind to violence and bloodshed or whatever from the animal kingdom, and I have a question on it myself as to why they're doing all that, other than to entertain the people with violent things. But anyway, the whole creation groans and travails. You know, when the lion begins to stalk his prey in Africa or where, India or wherever he is, we notice the deer just begin to panic and run in every direction. And as they hear his roar and he's out to kill and he wants to eat, he's hungry. And many of the animals just scatter and run as hard as they can in another direction from the roar, so as to perhaps escape his jaws and his claws and not be a meal for him that day. And so there is a fear of each other in the animal kingdom. You know, the mouse constantly has to try to escape the cat, and the rabbit has to escape the dog, and run as fast as they can to try to get away from their predator or the one who's after them. And so there is there's death stalking them all the time as they kill each other for their meals. And there is a groaning upon the creation of the world because of the fall of man. And then, of course, we know what happened to man. We know what happened in the garden or after when they were chased out of the garden, and Cain killed Abel, and hatred came into mankind. And we just have a lot there that we could talk about. But we want to go on and just talk about now into leave the backdrop of that and talk about the better days ahead. In Isaiah 11 contains some of the most interesting and exciting prophecies about the coming millennial kingdom. I believe in a 1,000-year reign. I believe that the book of Acts uses the word the restitution of all things, or I believe that word means the restoration of all things. In other words, the devil will not win this battle of the fall of man, but God will at some time here on the earth restore all things back into its Garden of Eden state again, when I believe that thorns and thistles will again die and not have their effect, and the animal kingdom will respond to what is spoken of here. Let me go first of all in these first verses here. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It is interesting that he is even called the branch. And what is interesting in this particular verse, the fulfillment of it, is that Israel and Judah had corrupted himself in idolatry. We're going through the book of Jeremiah, and it is just incredible to see that the idolatry that was in Israel and then in Judah likewise, and the tree basically was cut off. And here we have out of David or Jesse, the root of Jesse, or the, how does it say, the rod out of the stem of Jesse, came the branch and grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And it's talking about Jesus Christ being born of the Virgin Mary that shot up out of that cut off tree when Israel was not a people anymore and was taken into captivity, even though a remnant did come back. Out of that came Jesus Christ then, by the Spirit of God. We know he always was. He wasn't just born then, but he got a physical body, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and every one of them would just be beautiful to elaborate on, but I shall go on. They shall make him and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ did not have to discern things by what he saw and by what he heard, But he was supernatural in that he could discern the heart of man, and therefore he could judge in righteousness without just the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. And with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, in the scripture that was up on the board a little while ago, we noticed that they had on the board here Isaiah 61:1 that talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel and to the poor and all the things that it says there. But then it says, and the day of vengeance of our God. And when that scripture is repeated in Luke chapter 4 by the Lord Jesus, he reads to that point, and just before turn to that in Isaiah 61, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But he closed the book and sat down in Luke 4 before he talked about the day of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. And so I believe that. And then he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So there was a fulfillment of part of the verse of Isaiah 61, and the rest was put off for 2,000 years later, it appears. The same is true here. I lost my page here. The same is true here in Isaiah 11, when we notice how he will judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of the lips. That did not yet happen. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, because that is described in Revelation chapter 19. And when the Lord Jesus comes back again to judge the wicked for their wickedness, and also described in other scriptures there. But so we have that division right in a given verse. So the wrath of God was not poured out when he came the first time, but he came to minister to the people, to die for the people, and to succor them and save them and bless them. And plant the church, send his Holy Spirit after he ascended. But then the day of wrath was put off for now practically 2,000 years, and perhaps will soon be poured out upon the earth. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That's such a beautiful description of our Lord, how he, righteousness was the girdle of his loins. He was right. He was pure through and through. From top to bottom, there was not a flaw in him. And he even kept the old Mosaic law to the T and did not break one commandment of it. All right. Then he says, gives this great description of the great change. And when I say better days ahead, this is what I was after. In light of all that we're seeing in the world today, including, and there the film presentation or the slide presentation this morning is a beautiful picture, not a beautiful picture, but a picture of the contrast. That is a horrible thing. We look at that and are moved to tears. We choke up virtually when we see the suffering of the little ones, and not only them, but the people in general, and the loss of everything, homes and all, and are now languishing and suffering in a refugee camp for months and months at a time. So that is what we are experiencing right now in the world, and there are millions of refugees over the world in many places, and now it's starting in Venezuela. They are there. exiting Venezuela to the borders and crowding to get out in order to get food to eat, and because of the collapse of the government there. And the wolf shall also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. I love this picture. You talk about better days ahead. I want you to know that right now, we even have an aggressiveness on the animal kingdom that joggers are being attacked, going through parks, and alligators are jumping out of the water and grabbing people, and they're losing their limbs or being killed in Florida in the Everglades. And you have an aggressiveness on the animal kingdom that is actually getting more aggressive in chasing after man. But here is a prophecy unfulfilled in history. Never have we known anything in a literal sense here where a wolf will lie down with a kid and a calf and a young lion and a fatling are going to lie down together. And get this, an innocent little child, which would have been snapped up in a moment by any one of these, will lead them, or pet them, we might say, or mingle among them and not be hurt. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. There are better days ahead, my dear people, this morning, where violence will once again not be in the earth, where the animal kingdom will once again eat straw like the ox, the lion will. They will become vegetarians. They will not kill each other. The mouse doesn't have to run from the cat. The bunny doesn't have to run from the dog. And on we could go. This is a promise of God, I believe, in a literal sense, because, and I don't have time to go into all the other scriptures, which nearly all of the prophets did give some allusion to this very fact too, but Isaiah does about the best job in the Old Testament of this great change that is coming on the face of the earth. He further says that a cow and a bear shall feed. A cow and a bear don't feed together. Normally, this is just the way it is. I have to think about the wolf and the kid, or the wolf and the lamb. Lambs seem to be the most desirable food for the wolf. In fact, the wolf population was nearly extinct in Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado, and a lot of those places, because farmers kept shooting them and killing them because they were so hard on their flocks, their calves, their kids, if they had goats, or their lambs, if they had sheep, because packs of wolves would come out hungry on a hunt and chase after these little lambs, and they just delighted in them, and the sheep were defenseless and had no protection from the wolf, and the wolf made havoc. Well, they, of course, made it illegal to shoot a wolf, and tried to bring the wolf back, and now today we have the same problem again in the West. The farmers are complaining again of their calves disappearing or their lambs disappearing because of the wolf. And I have to remember in my own boyhood, I don't know where I got it, whether it was some books I read or whatever, but I would dream at night of a wolf chasing me from the back fields down through the field lane up toward the house. I would run as hard as I could go with a wolf on my heels in my dreams, and it was very scary and very real, as I would dream that numerous times in my childhood. I don't dream that anymore hardly, but I did then. And so that's just the way it is, but God is promising a time when that'll all stop, and the wolf will just lie down with a little lamb, and they'll just feed together and be together, and none will kill each other. Better days ahead? I would think so. If this is literally a literal fulfillment in the future, then I believe that will be a glorious time for all of us who will be there. Then he says here, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. I have to stop at that one because I remember the story that my wife told me numerous times, that when she was just a little child, just a crawling child that could sit, her mother took her out to the garden with her to weed the garden or maybe harvest some things or whatever, and sat her down right on top of a yellow jacket nest. And of course she didn't know anything and couldn't talk, and she just began to cry and cry until finally her mother went over and picked her up, and here she had sat her right on a yellow jacket nest. Well, in this time, it won't matter at all. You can put them beside a wasp nest or a yellow jacket nest. They can put their hands in the den of a rattlesnake den, and they won't get bit. Unthinkable today that any child would mess around with a snake den and not get bit by sticking its hand in it. But that's simply what it says. The suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. That cockatrice is a viper or a snake, according to my understanding that I checked it out. It's a word that we don't use today in our language. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, I certainly look forward to a day like that. You know, we have a little down payment of that here in Lancaster County. Just a little one. It's probably, I don't know if I should say it's getting worse or getting better, but we see violence coming into our Plain community in a greater way than it was when I was a boy. Much greater way. Much more divorce, broken homes, murder, robbing, and so on. But yet at the same time, because of the concentration of Christians, we are spared from so much of that in our community here. And so you get a little bit of a glimpse that how a people who have the knowledge of the Lord, violence is reduced, greatly reduced. And I thank God for that. I talk about it quite a bit in our community. We have never had a break-in in the history of our marriage. Over 50 years, we have never had a robbery in our home. You know, and it could happen tomorrow. I'm not bragging of that. I'm just simply saying that has been because, for the most part, I've lived in a community where people fear God and they don't do those things near as much. But when we go into the cities, we know that violence is much greater than it was in bygone years or in my childhood. But here is great promise, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice's den. Yes, I did read that. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And so you have a drastic change coming in a 1,000-year period, according to Revelation 20, where the devil will be tied and will not deceive the nations anymore and will not push his hatred and violence and anger and animosity and all that that he's doing today, but rather the knowledge of the Lord and the truth of Jesus Christ and him ruling with a rod of iron will have its effect upon the whole earth. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, verse 10, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. What's an ensign? Well, that's kind of a banner. I think a good illustration of it would be when the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness and the people would look to it and be healed of their snake bites by looking on that brazen serpent. And that was an ensign for the people, so to speak, in that day, or a banner or a symbol that was out there. Well, we realized then that as Jesus was lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness, and of course, drew all men unto himself by it. So, the root of Jesse, again speaking of Jesus Christ, shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, that's something that many of the Orthodox Jews missed. But here is a fact that in a future time, the Gentiles will seek to it, and have already also. And his rest shall be glorious. There will be a rest from wickedness and violence in that day. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. That's interesting. Notice that, because there was a first time when he gathered the people that were dispersed. And then he's prophesying here that and when the Jewish people were brought back out of Babylon. But here he's saying, prophesying, that there will be a second time when to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt and wherever they have been, all those nations, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Let me see here. I think that is as far as I plan to read in there. But I see that as a reality. I look forward to that. That's why I named it Better Days Ahead. We look at the increase of violence and we are appalled at the statistics of our day. We look at murder and rape and robbery and, yes, drug infestation and shootings and knifings and all these kind of things. And they are just getting out of hand in the nation we're at. In our present day, and have slowly increased over the years. Well, it's been kind of ebb and flow over the 1,000 years maybe, but as we look in the last 100 years here in our nation, this thing has greatly increased. The dishonesty and lack of uprightness and integrity and moral uprightness especially, and fornication, adultery, and divorce, and remarriage, and all these things. But there's a day coming, God says, or the prophet Isaiah talks about here in chapter 11, when things will be different. He will rule the nation in righteousness. Revelation said, with a rod of iron. And then the people will obey, and if they don't obey, they will have immediate or very short consequences to it. Now, let us, in closing yet, read the scripture in Romans chapter 8. And this is a scripture that has been puzzling to many people, but again, being a literalist, I take it that way. I take it literally here as Paul simply inserts that in here in this chapter. After he talks about living in the Spirit, living after the flesh or the Spirit, and being led by the Spirit of God, we being the sons of God and able to cry, Abba, Father. But then he says, for I reckon in verse 18 that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now see there, he moves it. The suffering of the present time shall not be compared with the future, with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, and I take that to simply mean the creatures, the animal kingdom, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They wait for the, I would say, the coming of the Lord with 10,000 of his saints in Jude, and that will execute righteousness upon the earth and deal with all the things that are not right there. Not turning to that scripture here for the sake of time. But the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. And there we have no indication that it's because of sin in themselves, not willingly, not their fault. But they were subjected to it because of the fall of man, is the way I would see that. But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, meaning that the Lord Jesus or the Creator God would have subjected that to them to that after the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. He has subjected the same in hope that at some time there would be a redemption. At some time there would be a restitution of all things. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Listen to those words. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, I wouldn't read right to spiritualize that and say, but the creature, meaning man, itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It would be the children of God would be delivered into the children of God. But when we look at the creation world or the creatures, then we can say that they shall also be delivered into the liberty of the children of God. For we know, and this is the key verse here to this scripture, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. But we're groaning at what's happening in Washington, that our leaders are in the condition they're in. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the redemption of the body. Cancer. Diabetes. Losing of a limb and not being able to get another one or grow another one back. Brain tumors. Heart failures. All of those things. There is a groaning to be delivered from all of these things, as the scripture said, and wait for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body, when we'll get a new body that will never cry. It will never have any tears. Better days ahead? I would say so. So it's all right to groan over the conditions and loved ones dying because of cancer. And because of accidents, and because of sickness, and because of disease. And we have so much of that. I don't know. I guess one way is that we have so much more knowledge or communication with the Christian church on a broad scale. But we just hear this all the time. Another one has cancer, and another one has had an accident. And a four-year-old boy drowned it again this past week, and on and on it goes, you know, and these things cause us to groan. How long, Lord? How long is this going to go on? Or we look at the Middle East. How long is this suffering going to go? How long will the devil be allowed to make such havoc among mankind and cause children to suffer in the way they're suffering? Well, just a little longer, the Bible would say, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And then he will redeem us from that. And so here he says that, for we groan within ourselves, waiting for the whole creation. And we, all of us together, there's a groaning for a better life. And you have to say, with the way, if you ever have seen some of these National Geographic pictures of the fear and the terror in an animal trying to get away from a lion or a tiger or a cougar or a big cat that jumps on its back and tries to tear its throat apart and get it down. You know, there's a groaning to escape that scene. There is a fear in all. And the same is true last week when the shooting started and the man started shooting there in Washington, D.C. at the ball game there. You know, the senators and their associates or whatever ran for cover into the dugouts, trying to hide behind a wall from the bullets that were flying all over the place. 60-plus rounds were shot with an automatic gun, you know, all that. And this all brings that groaning. Oh, Lord, how long? How long is this going to continue? And the violence filled the earth like it has filled like as it was in the days of Noah. So it is again. Well, we wait for the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that is my plea for us today, that we patiently wait for the coming of the Lord, the restitution of all things, the redemption of the earth, the being restored back to a Garden of Eden state. One of the prophets says a man shall die, or a child shall die at 100 years old, and a man shall not see length of days. And it appears like men will again live to the 950 plus years. And during that time, because the curse of sin is removed. And so we wait patiently for the better days ahead. Yes, we groan and we grieve over what we see happening all around us. We grieve and try to alleviate the suffering that we heard about this morning and try to make life somewhat better, even though they have no one will ever restore their loved ones and their fathers, mothers, children, brothers and sisters and all that have died in the fierce fighting. Nevertheless, a few of them may find Jesus Christ and find the glorious liberty of the children of God. May God help us to that end to keep our heads up, our redemption draweth nigh, and there are better days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mose, for those words. Truly, there are better days ahead. Looking forward to that day when the judge of all the earth will set everything right again. God's word has promised that. I thought of those words in James 5, where it gives the picture of the rich men that were oppressing the people and keeping back the hire of their laborers by fraud. But he goes on to say, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, because he will set everything right. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." So we can rest in the assurance and the certainty that there is a righteous judge that will set everything right someday. And I think that day is not too far away, as was also brought out this morning. All right, we'll open it up if anyone has any further comments or thoughts concerning the message. Raise your hand, someone get a microphone to you. Okay, Brother Ed.
I appreciate the message, and thankfully I do believe there's better days ahead. In Romans 11, you know, it says one day all Israel will be saved. God has a plan for Israel, for physical Israel. You know, some people try to replace that with the church, but God still has a plan for Israel, and I believe that he will come back and reign on the earth. thousand years. As far as better days ahead, I appreciate everybody's prayers for me this week. Time in the emergency room on Thursday, basically the CAT scan didn't show anything. Everything turned out okay, though they did diagnose me with transient cerebral ischemia, TIA. I don't know whether that's true or not. I did go to the chiropractor and found out I had a pinched nerve from having worked above my head, so it seemed like that's more practical. So anyway, still have some numbness in my left hand, so ask for your continued prayers. Did learn a good lesson from it, that the Bible talks about honoring our wives, and I should have sought her counsel and listened to her intuition, and that would have been much, probably could have spared me spending time in the emergency room. But anyway, God has many lessons to teach us.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.